And those of us who are remaining in this space, if you'd like to reach out and take a church Bible. And we're going to turn to Psalm 143, which you'll find on page 629. So page 629, Psalm 143, a Psalm of David. We shall read this together. O Lord, hear my prayer. Listen to my cry for mercy. In your faithfulness and righteousness, come to my relief. Do not bring your servant into judgment, for no one living is righteous before you. The enemy pursues me. He crushes me to the ground. He makes me dwell in darkness like those long dead. So my spirit grows faint within me. My heart within me is dismayed. I remember the days of long ago. I meditate on all your works and consider what your hands have done. I spread out my hands to you. My soul thirsts for you like a parched land. Answer me quickly, O Lord. My spirit fails. Do not hide your face from me, or I will be like those who go down to the pit. Let the morning bring me word of your unfailing love, for I have put my trust in you. Show me the way I should go, for to you I lift up my soul. Rescue me from my enemies, O Lord, for I hide myself in you. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. May your good spirit lead me on level ground. For your name's sake, O Lord, preserve my life. In your righteousness, bring me out of trouble. In your unfailing love, silence my enemies. Destroy all my foes, for I am your servant. And if you'd like to keep your Bibles open, we turn to our two main readings, and then Rob will speak to us.
Chapter 10, and I'm beginning to read at verse 17. You'll find it on page 768. Gather up your belongings to leave the land you live under siege, for this is what the Lord says. At this time, I will hurl out those who live in this land. I will bring distress to them so that they may be captured. Woe to me because of my injury. My wound is incurable. Yet I said to myself, this is my sickness and I must endure it. My tent is destroyed. All its ropes are snapped. My sons are gone from me and are no more. No one is left to pitch my tent or to set up my shelter. The shepherds are senseless and do not inquire of the Lord, so they do not prosper, and all their flock is scattered. Listen, the report is coming, a great commotion from the land of the north. It will make the towns of Judah desolate and haunts of jackals. This is the word of the Lord.
The second reading is taken from Revelation chapter 3, starting to read at verse 14, and can be found on page 1236 in the church Bibles. To the angel of the church in Laodicea write, these words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. You say, I am rich, I have acquired wealth and do not need a thing. But you do not realise that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind and naked. I cancelled you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, so that you can become rich, and white clothes to wear, so that you can cover your shameful nakedness. And salve to put on your eyes, so that you can see. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. Say, be earnest and repent. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. This is the word of the Lord.
Shall we just bow our heads to pray? Lord, we ask you to be with us this morning. We ask you to open our hearts, our minds, and our ears to your word, to become your people more and more each day as we live with you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Right. Sometimes difficult to prepare, but I was reading this passage from Revelation quite early in the week, and still got it wrong. I thought I was preaching on 12 to 22, but it's 14 to 22. So even I should pay attention. So that's the thing. So the thing that came to me to this in this reading was the words lukewarm. The one thing I hate, and it may be only me, I don't know, but is lukewarm, nearly cold tea. It looks exactly the same as hot tea. And it's if it's a warm day, you can't even tell whether it's hot because you can't see any steam rising off it. Yet, as soon as I take a sip, it doesn't taste or feel the same. My reaction, and I didn't realise that I'd said this until I looked back at the reading again, was to spit it out, spit it back into the cup. And it's quite a reaction, isn't it, really, to go, oh, you know. So, some will say, well, surely it's the same thing. It was brewed with boiling water. The same tea leaves or tea bag. It was brewed adequately before it was poured. I'd done the recommended 3 minutes. It looks the same. It tastes the same. And it will quench your thirst. But is it the same? To me, you see, it's totally different beverage. It's pretending to be tea. I might quickly drink it, but I won't enjoy it and probably will quickly make another proper cup. Yet, not all of us will agree, but for the purposes of the talk, please follow my thought process as though it's the only truth, if you like. So, I'm going to try and focus on two things, which are the things that struck me in the reading. The word lukewarm, which I've already expressed, being lukewarm as a Christian, and also how complacency and worldly wealth can deflect us truly from following Jesus Christ. So where do we start? God's word would be a good place, so I hope you've got your Bibles open, and I think it's page 1236, where we start. Verse 14. Like each of the messages to the churches planted by Christians throughout the Eastern Mediterranean, this one starts with a message from God and Jesus, the Amen. Jesus confirms who he is and the authority under which he places the church and his people. The body of Christ, so that's each of us, if we declare our faith in Jesus and we become a member of that church, but more importantly, because sometimes the association with church becomes just the building, but it's not an association with the building, it's an association with God and God's family. We are not members of a club or a society. We become integral members of God's family and he knows each of us by name. Now, it's quite interesting, and Toby said about all the different groups and things that meet, and I probably, like many others, attend different things during the week and do different things. But even I struggle to know absolutely all the names of the people who are there. And it must be even harder for the leaders of those groups to actually cement in there the names of the people. Now, Joy and I go to a group called Pop Chorus. And Pop Chorus, Anya is the main leader of that. She virtually knows everybody's name. And in our group alone, there are nearly 80 people. So that's just amazing to me. But it's the way that she works. She wants a connection with those people. So God knows us all by a spiritual connection. And in verse 12, it says, God's names are written in us, and Jesus is the pillar of the temple. The new Jerusalem, you see, is the future dwelling place for God's people. We will become citizens with all the rights of a family member. And the other thing that we have to remember in these days, it was a Roman-based society, and being a member of a family gave you real good rights, like Paul found out in the later part of his journeys and mission. Everything in this new home will be pure and secure. Who will God welcome there? What is the membership policy? Only those who have declared a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ will be there. Those who have accepted him totally and repented of the things that they do wrong. But it's a daily process, because we all accumulate these wrong things, these sins, as we go along. And I have to apologise to Christine. I spoke harshly to her this morning. So I need to repent of that, because it was just a reaction. But God knows what that reaction is. So I need to apologise to him and to Christine. So, Jesus wants people who are red hot for him. And they're the only ones who will be allowed in. We must accept God's Holy Spirit into our very being, and that will affect the daily decisions that we make. Verse 13, whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The churches, you see, are the body of Christ, all Christian churches, and includes each individual within that body. One thing I was quite appropriate. If your head decides to go to church, then your body has no choice but to go with you. But be aware, even though the head and the body arrive, they've still got to be connected spiritually to each other and to God. So your head and body can arrive, but actually your head could be out in the car park. Your brain, your mind could be out there, not here listening to what God is saying. God doesn't accept anything but full commitment. When we are stone cold, actually that's better. Because God can deal with that, because he will concentrate all his resources, Christians' words and prayers, into that problem. Morris, are you listening? Okay, good. Carry on the good work. So, when we are hot for God, it's quite obvious that we are involved, committed, and prominent to Christian and non-Christians alike. Yeah, we may encounter opposition in different forms, but we will have spiritual support from God and practical and prayerful support from the Christian family around us. That's the ideal. Okay? If we are lukewarm, we are not obvious either way. Have a look around you. We look right. We appear content. And we appear comfortable. But when we are tested, or like the tea, tasted, we can just fade away or be spit out like I do with the tea. God, you see, wants us to be active and hot for him. Each of us has different skills, abilities and callings, but we should use these things to the best of our abilities. Think about these things that harm us when we're only warm. Often things need to be heated thoroughly to be safe and effective. And I'm just thinking in this virus situation, is it good to use soap? Is it good to use hot water? Would lukewarm water do the same job, or cold water? I think hot is the best in the ideal situation. But the most important thing is that we use the soap, God's soap, to do all these jobs. So, are we hot for God and Jesus and therefore effective? Our next piece is to focus on complacency. Verse 14 and 15. To the angel of the church in Laodicea, write, these are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot or cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. We are warned, therefore, that complacency is the real enemy. Are we aware of our own spiritual and Christian state? Have we had a health checkup recently? Now, actually, I had one a few weeks ago. And the doctor said, Mr. Dean, your cholesterol count is on the rise. You're on the threshold on your sugar levels. So that could be a risk of diabetes. Now, I can do these things. I can change my diet. I can alter my exercise regime. I can get other regular checks to monitor my progress. Or I can go the other way, totally ignore the warnings and die a lot earlier. It's our choice. Which way would you go? Well, it's precisely the same with our spiritual health. Do we ignore warnings and die? Or change our lifestyle, go to a home group, a prayer group, or a Bible study meeting, meet regularly with other Christians and build each other up so that we are better able to be God's people, ready for the new kingdom to come? But that's only if we qualify to enter. You see, complacency takes many forms. Do we monitor our own prayer life and Bible study? Do we take seriously our opportunities to worship and meet with fellow Christians? Is Sunday our day to be a Christian and leave it there till the next Sunday? What does God require of us? Verse 18 in our reading. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, so that you can become rich, and white clothes to wear, so that you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes so that you can see. Jesus wants us to value these things that are truly valuable. We can't take actually earthly possessions with us from this world into the new kingdom. Only those that we get from God, things such as love, mercy, peace, commitment to those less well off than us, and the way that we deal with life from day to day. This is the evidence of Christian life, not what we can gather to ourselves. Now, don't get me wrong, God doesn't necessarily prevent us from having earthly possessions. But what he does want us to do is use the things that we have got to do the best that we can for church, society, and the people around us. The Laodiceans were renowned for their treatment of eye problems. They had a special sort of ointment. In verse 18, this is referred to because sometimes we rely on earthly solutions to our problems before any reference to God. Now, it's not a problem for us to do something about something that's going on, but the main thing is, do we go to God before we do it, before we do anything? Do we go to God before we go to work? Do we go to God before we come out of the house in the morning and go to church? It's this dressing back to Jesus and God and not just accepting that we always know the way to go. We are asked to open heavenly eyes to see what God wants us to do in any particular situation. The Christian way may not be the worldly way, but it could be the correct way to go. Talking and responding to fellow church members can help. Certainly prayer and the study of God's leading through his word, opening our heart and mind to God's leading, is so important. Complacency starts with a lack of discipline. Our prayer life declines. Our study of God's word, personally and in groups, slides. We find reasons not to attend worship or to participate in events. We grow spiritually tired and blame God instead of our lack of discipline. God wants us to communicate and be with us, but he won't force himself. He is patient and kind. But in verse 19 and 20 it says, those whom I love I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. Not loud enough. God's out there. Jesus is standing at that door. And because we say we are Christians, he doesn't gently knock at the door and waiting for the invitation. He's actually shouting and hammering at the door because he wants our hearts and our minds to be open. That's what Jesus does to those who believe. God can always and always will repair a relationship at any point, but it takes true repentance for us to, and for us to take the first step and open the door. Jesus waits expectantly to open the door for anyone, the long-time Christian or the person who steps through the door of the church or any of our homes. It is our responsibility to introduce Christ to those around us at any opportunity. It is not our responsibility to convert anyone. Only God's Spirit can do that. Morris, true? True. But we are the conduit for that introduction to Jesus and God's Spirit. Without us, God finds it difficult to do his work. It doesn't mean he can't do it, but he finds it more difficult. Think about it. Without Moses, Abraham, David, Mary, Joseph, all of those following God's instructions, where would Jesus have come from? And we can follow that through the Old Testament. We can follow where Jesus comes from. Without the disciples and Paul and then many thousands of others after those, where would God's word and love in action come from? Only with active Christian people, people hot for God, can God's plan for the world succeed. Jesus finishes our passage today with these words, verses 21 and 22. To the one who is victorious, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne. Just as I was victorious and sat down with my Father on his throne, whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So we've heard seven different messages to seven different churches. Which one's for us? All of them. But there may be different messages for different people within each church congregation. We need to read it, absorb it, and decide where God wants us to go and what he wants us to do. Jesus was never lukewarm in his love and actions for his Father. He was hot from day one of his ministry. Jesus was never complacent. He prayed always, listened for his Father's leading and prompting. He studied Scripture avidly and knew his Father's heart and love for his people and world. Jesus was the ultimate of God's word in action in this world, his world. He sacrificed everything, even his godliness, to save us all on the cross. John 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. God was fully committed to us in Jesus as he became flesh, and so we should be fully committed to him in all that we do in church, or, more importantly, outside. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall have eternal life. God gave everything. He was hot and fully prepared and not complacent. Shall we be the same? One thing that came through when I was doing the reading and the study about the reading was the fact that Laodicea had a water supply. Where the city was bone dry, no natural water. So they had to build an aqueduct that came from the mountains, well, somewhere outside the city, along into the city and down. When the water started out, how do you think it was? Anyone? Stone cold, yeah, really icy cold. But by the time it had made its journey, because of the design of the aqueduct, it actually, by the time it got to the city, was lukewarm and not very nice at all. Now, in a different city that eventually died in a volcanic eruption, Pompeii's aqueduct was extremely well built and efficient, and actually delivered stone cold water from the mountains, and even by the time it got into the city it was still cold. And the difference for us is whether we will accept lukewarm or whether we accept stone cold water, palatable water. Jesus' spirit is like that cold water. It's palatable, it cleans, it cleanses, and it helps us work. So, think about those things as we go about today. Are we lukewarm for God? Are we complacent? Are we happy where we are because we're okay? We don't need him to do anything. So, let us pray. Lord, we ask you to come into our hearts and minds and spirit. Inspire and fill us with your Holy Spirit so that we will be on fire for you, fully prepared for the battle ahead. Help us to tell others about you so that they can be inheritors of the new kingdom to come. In Jesus' name.